And we are reading today, again, from the letter to the Hebrews, which no one is really sure who wrote it or to whom. We're reading in the 13th chapter, beginning with the first verse. Hear the word of God. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison as though you were in prison with them, those who are being tortured as though you are being tortured. Let marriage be held in honor by all, and let the marriage bed be kept undefiled, for God will judge fornicators and adulterers. And keep your lives free from the love of money. And be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you, and consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. And Jesus Christ is the same. Yesterday, and today, and forever. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I don't know about you, but I like to watch Jeopardy, you know, the question and answer game, or I should say the answer and question game, in which you are allowed to run various categories and mount up dollars that you really never get, but you at least get to watch. And I've started to think that I was doing pretty well a few weeks ago until I realized I was watching a rerun. Anyway, my favorite category is always potpourri, which is a French word I probably am not pronouncing right, but it means, you know, anything and everything. It's the catch-all category where they can ask any different kind of a thing, and you say, you know, potpourri for 200, potpourri for 400, that sort of thing. I'm reading this scripture today from Hebrews 13, and I'm thinking, this is the potpourri scripture. This is a list of things to do, but it's sort of random, just like the potpourri category in Jeopardy is random. And that was about where this sermon was going, sort of random. I know what you're thinking. Most of your sermons, Greg, are sort of random. But then I decided to do what they teach you to do, you know, in Bible class, which is, oh, read the context. And so if you go all the way back, I'll pull out my Bible again, which I did the other day. If you go all the way back to the beginning of the 12th chapter, you read these familiar words that we have read often in church. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Let us run the race that is before us. So these words of counsel on living life are in the context, I think, of that command to run the race that is before us, looking ahead to Jesus. Now, you know, there's a couple different kinds of races. There's the competitive race in which you do everything you can to win. Sometimes, most of the time, hopefully fairly, but sometimes unfairly. But there's also the kind of race where you run in order for everyone to win. I remember earlier this summer, one of our bell-ringing friends, Eleni Levin, was running a triathlon, but not just for herself. She was part of the team in training for leukemia, and she was running for a friend of hers that had been afflicted with that illness. And all the people on her team are supporting each other, encouraging each other. In fact, after she crossed the finish line, she waited 3 hours for every single person on her team to cross the finish line. It was all about working together. I remember running a few marathons a few decades ago, and I remember stopping at one point. I had just run out of gas, and someone running by, someone I don't even know, said, "Don't stop, keep going, keep going." Why would you say that? But he did, and I tried for a while. But there was that team thing. That's, we're all in this together. We're all trying to cross the finish line together. And that's the kind of race that God has set before us, the kind of race that we're running together. The life of faith is that kind of a race. So when we hear these things, this list, it's not just a random list. It's a list of ways that we run this race together. Let mutual love continue. Mutual love. And mutual love is about some of these things that come next. It's about, of course, support and encouragement. But it's also about these next verses, hospitality. Welcome the stranger. Welcome the stranger, because some have entertained angels without knowing it. You know, you think about the context of the Bible. Of course they had to do that. They're in a wilderness. They're in a desert. There's no water. If people didn't welcome strangers, then any traveler would die. But is our world really so different? We may not live in a desert, but we live in a world of corporate transfers and often anonymous suburbs. I mean, think about the courage it takes to walk into a new church where it seems like everybody else knows each other. Plenty of you know exactly what that feels like. So maybe this is something of a wilderness of a world that we live in too. And welcoming the stranger, welcoming the newcomer, is just as important here as it was centuries ago in the desert. And maybe the water that we offer doesn't come from a faucet, but it's the water of welcome and encouragement and a place to call home. Then he goes on to say, reach out to those who are in prison, to those who are being tortured, as though you yourself were being tortured, as though you yourself were in prison. It's talking about compassion. Compassion. And it doesn't just say reach out to those in prison. It goes beyond that to say as though you yourself were in prison. Walk a mile in my shoes, the old song says. Walk a mile in my shoes. And before you accuse, criticize, or abuse, walk a mile in my shoes. Walk in the mile in the shoes of those who are unemployed, who are divorced, who are struggling with AIDS or cancer or depression or whatever. There's no judgment in compassion. In fact, the very word means to suffer with another, to stand by them so that they will know they are not alone. And is it any accident that later, when just a couple of verses later, that God himself says to us through Hebrews, I will never leave you or forsake you. I will stand with you. I will suffer with you no matter what it is you face in this wilderness of a world. Keep your marriage vows. There's something about living in community that's important about being faithful to the commitments we make. And here, marriage is lifted up. But there are many, many commitments we make as husbands and wives, certainly, as fathers and mothers, and eventually as children to those who in the generations before us. There are commitments we make in the things that we choose to involve ourselves in, whether it's coaching Little League or promising to show up at pads or being a Boy Scout leader. There are all kinds of vows and commitments that we make. He lifts up marriage here as a vital one, and marriage is indeed a vital one for society. I thought it was interesting that, you know, marriage takes a lot of hits. There are all kinds of jokes and made about it by the late night comedians, but when Al and Tipper Gore announced that they were splitting up, I didn't hear any jokes. I didn't hear anybody making fun of it. It was almost like everyone said, oh. Which was, in a way, encouraging. That as a society, maybe we still do see. We still do see the value in that. And of course, we are not always, we do not always fulfill all our promises. We do not always fulfill our vows. Even those who stay married do not always keep their marriage vows. I tell the couples I marry, you're probably going to break your vows during your honeymoon. I mean, who is loving all the time? Who is kind all the time? Who is understanding all the time? But we know that there is forgiveness and there is grace and there is the opportunity to live again. William Sloan Coffin said, one of the philosophers told us that it's the unexamined life that it's not worth living. Socrates, I believe. The unexamined life is not worth living. And he said, that's important, but even more true, he said, it's the uncommitted life that's not worth living. That we make commitments, we make promises, and the ones that we make, they define who we become. Who we are, always in the context of that grace that God surrounds us with that lets us come anew and try anew and be new people. Then, beware the love of money. It's interesting how some things translate just fine from Bible times till now. Talking about what are our priorities? What is it that we center our lives on? Money is neutral. Money is neither good nor evil. It's the love of money. Love is to be reserved for people, not for things. It's the love of money that leads us down a dangerous path. So what are our priorities? Prioritize. Put your life in perspective. I will never leave you or forsake you. The scripture says in the very next verse, I will never leave you or forsake you. Can you say that about dollars? Can you say that about stocks and bonds? Can you say that about anything? It's God who's faithful to us all through the course of our lives. And that's the gospel truth. The gospel of the Jesus Christ who is the same yesterday, the same today, the same forever, who will always be there. On Labor Day, as we think about what we do the rest of the week, it's fair to ask, is there a disconnect between what we talk about here on Sunday morning and what we do in the rest of our lives? I hope not. I hope we come to this holy place to remember that all places are holy. That every place we go is God's place. I hope we come here to practice living in mutual love on Sunday morning so that we can remember to live in mutual love all week long. This is not jeopardy. We're not risking it all on final jeopardy because Jesus has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. And the one who calls us and gives us that promise empowers us to be people of hospitality, to be people of compassion, to be people of faithfulness, to be people who know what their priorities are, people who continue to live in mutual love. And let us just do just that, not just on Sunday mornings, but everywhere God sends us, to every place. Thanks be to God. Amen. And I invite you now to stand, all who are able to stand.